Okay, we're beginning here 11 lines down on the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Amrei Beit Rav, Ashlosh Mitzvot Ben Noach Ne'erak, that there are three mitzvot out of the seven mitzvot Bnei Noach, only three of them result in a death penalty. Al Gilui Arayot, V'Ashvichut Damim, V'Al Birkat Hashem. So these three will result in a death penalty. The other four are restricted, they are asurim, but they do not result in a death penalty. Matkifla Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet wants to understand what is the source for this position that is being brought by Rav Yosef in the name of the Beirav. Bishlama Shvichut Damim. I understand by Shvichut Damim why you would say this. Tichtiv Shofech Dam Adam Be'adam Damo Yishafech. So there it's explicit in the Torah that the punishment for murder is that the person must be put to death. So there I understand why you would say there's a death penalty. Elahanach Menaluhu. The other items here, Birkat Hashem and Gilui Arayot, why are they subject to a death penalty? Igamar Mishvichut Damim, if you want to say that Mishvichut Damim is a binyan av, it is a paradigm that sets the precedent that all mitzvot b'nei Noach result in a death penalty, then afilu kulu nami. Then all of the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach should be subject to a death penalty. Imishum ditrabe mi ish ish. If you want to say that they're included because the pasuk says ish ish, and as we're going to see later in today's daf, and as we saw in yesterday's daf, that ish ish is an inclusionary term that includes not only a Jew, but even an akum is then included in that halacha. Well, because we have that by the arayot, it says ish ish, el kol she'er bisaro lo tigrivu lagalot erva, and we'll see in later in today's daf, that that will then include a nachri. Now, even though Ish Ish is written in Parshat Achrimot, which is where the Azharot are, not where the punishments are, nevertheless, Rashi says over here, V'darshin anuhu rabot et akutim biot b'mitati Yisrael, that it is an inclusionary term that brings them into the world of Arayot, and once they're in that world of Arayot, they'll also be subject to the same penalties or punishments as Arayot. That's the way that Rashi learns it. The Yad Rama learns it as an Einu Inyan. So the Yad Rama says, if you don't need it for the Azhara, because we already learned that from the word Le'mor in yesterday's daf, and we'll see later again in today's daf, then use the Pasuk to teach you that they're not only included for the Azharot, they're also included for the Onashim. So the Yad Rama learns it as an Einu Inyan, whereas Rashi seems to say that it's just a Giloi Milta, that the Goyim have this, Akum has the same din as Israel, the Gabei Arayot. Then by Birkat Hashem, again we saw this in yesterday's daf, Ish Ish Ki Kalel Alokav V'Nasachato Nokev Shem Hashem Motu Mat. So there we have it by Birkat Hashem as well. But if that's the case, Avodat Kochavim Name Yitrabe Mi Ish Ish, that's the case, you should also include Avodat Kochavim, because Avodat Kochavim also has an Ish Ish that is mentioned by the Molech. There it says, El ben Yisrael tomar, ish ish mi bnei Yisrael min ager bi Yisrael sheiten mizero lemolech motu mat. So again there, ish ish is used. So now, if you want to suggest that ish ish is the riboy, then you would also have to include avodah zarah in those that are penalized with the death penalty. Ela amar Rav Sheshet amar Ebei Rav al arba mitzvot bein Noach neherak. So Rav Sheshet brings an alternate view versus Rav Yosef of the Bei Rav. Rav Yosef said it was three out of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach are subject to a death penalty. Rav Sheshet over here suggests that it's four out of the seven are subject to a death penalty. Is it really true that when it comes to avodah zarah, that a ben Noach is put to death? V'atanya, don't we have a brayta? Be'avodat kochavim, when it comes to avodah zarah, dvarim shebeitin Yisrael memitin aleihen, things that are subject to a death penalty for a Jew in avodah zarah, ben Noach muzhar aleihen. Then a ben Noach is warned from engaging in such an activity. So we know by Israel that the four core avodot, plus the avodah that is normally done to an avodah zarah and ishtachavaya, all of those are subject to a death penalty. Then a ben Noach is muzhar lehen, azara in mitalo. In that instance, it sounds like from the Braita that they're restricted in engaging in such activity, but there's no resultant death penalty that is associated with it. It just says azhara. Where is the mention of a mitah of a death penalty? So Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzhak, azhara shalahen zohi mitatan. That their warning is a death penalty. Rashi learns this to mean, klomar, kol azhara, detana, tana, gabe b'nei Noach, zohi mitah shalahem. Anytime you find in a Tanaic work a statement that says that they are restricted from doing such, they are prohibited from doing such, that automatically is associated with a death penalty, because that's the only thing that they have. The only punishment that is associated with the Bnei Noach, or the Sheva Mevitzim of Bnei Noach, is a death penalty. And so therefore, if the Tana already says it's asur or prohibited, that automatically leads to a death penalty. That's the way Rashi learns it. The Yad Ramah says that doesn't sound like that at all from the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to use the terminology later on, and it is not in the context of a Tana, but rather in the context of the Psukim. And that is the simpler way it seems to read the Gemara over here. It's Kol Azarah Shelehen. Anytime the Torah prohibits a Ben Noach from doing something or says it's asur to do it, then it's automatically associated with a punishment or a death penalty. That is because that's the only penalty that we have associated with a non-Jew. And so therefore, once the Torah prohibits, it's a Pol Yotze, it's an automatic derivative of that, that it will be subject to a death penalty. That's one way to read it. The other way to read it, the Yad Ramah brings, is the possibility that it means you do not need Hatra'ah. Once the Torah already prohibits it for you, you do not need to be warned again that it is Asur. It's automatic, and we're going to see that in the second half of today's daf, that there's no necessity for Hatra'ah. And that likely derives from the fact that the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach are mitzvot what we call Sichliot, or natural law. They are mitzvot that a person should know or should be conducting themselves with anyway. These aren't mitzvot that impose certain concepts on the person. They are mitzvot that are self-evident to the individual. That's true by most of them, maybe with the exception of Avodah Zarah and Birkat Hashem, which deal with the relationship of man to God. But the ones that deal with Ben Adam Nechaveiro are natural law, things that people should be obviously aware of, and therefore you don't need Hatra'ah. And the Azhara of the Torah is sufficient to dictate that there'll be a death penalty in those situations. So the Yad Ramah says that the Azhara we're speaking about here is the Azharat HaTorah, whereas Rashi says the Azhara we're speaking about here is when a Tana in a Tanaic work says that it's prohibited or it's problematic, that means it's associated with a death penalty. Ravuna, Rav Yehuda, v'kulu tamidei d'Rav Amrei. So here we have an alternate Misora from Rav. These are all the Talmidim of Rav, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, and all the other Talmidim of Rav say, Al Sheva Mitzvot Ben Noach Ne'erag. On all seven of the Sheva Mitzvot Ben Noach, it results in a death penalty. Goli Rachmana Bechado, it uses what we had suggested before, that the Torah makes it explicit by murder, that that's the case, and that becomes the paradigm. But in the Kulu, and then we apply it to all of the Sheva Mitzvot Ben Noach, once it already gave us the Binyanav by murder, that it applies to all the remaining six mitzvot of Bnei Noach, that all Sheva mitzvot Bnei Noach are subject to a death penalty. Now the Gemara questions that, Bala Gezel, Ben Noach Neherag, is it really true that a Ben Noach is killed for Gezel? That'll be the punishment if he engages in Gezel. Ba'atanya, don't we have a Tosefta? Ala Gezel, it's going through the Sheva mitzvot Bnei Noach, and it's giving examples, or giving you, what are the manifestations of this. So it says by the Gezel, what's Gezel of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach? Ganav, Bigazal, V'chein Yifat Toar, V'chein Keyotze Ben. So it gives four examples. It says Gneva V'Gzela, which are obvious, Yifat Toar, which is not exactly obvious, but the way that Rashi phrases it over here is that Yifat Toar is a married woman, and despite the fact that she's an Eshet Ish, when it comes to battle or in the war, one is allowed to take that Eshet Ish. But that shows you that it's only Mutar Yisrael, meaning that the Torah prescribed that in battle for Israel, that he's able to take the Eshet Yifat Toar, implying that otherwise it would be Asur. Otherwise meaning that it would be Gezel, because you're stealing this woman away from her husband. V'chein Yotze Ben, and things that are similar to them. So that fourth is like a catch-all category, which the Gemara will then later ask, what is the catch-all that matches up with each one of these items? Kuti b'kuti, b'kuti b'Yisrael asur. In these instances, if a non-Jew does this to another non-Jew, that would be asur. Kuti does this to Israel, it would be asur. B'Yisrael b'kuti, if Israel does it to a kuti, it would be mutar. And Rashi notes over here that there's actually a diok out of this, which is Israel to Israel would be asur, because that will have implications later on. So there are four permutations. Of the four permutations, three of them are asur, and one is mutar. That is, kuti to kuti, Israel to Israel, and a kuti to Israel, all of those are asurim. A Israel to a kuti will be mutar. Rashi over here quotes something that is surprising, And he says, how do you know that Yisrael Bekuti is mutar by Gezel? Because it says, Lutashok et Reacha, that you may not withhold money or defraud a fellow Jew. And he says, Reachaktiv, that it's only your compatriots, it's your fellow Jews that you're restricted from doing this too. Below Kuti, and not a Kuti, meaning that there's no restriction. Umid Rabbanan, Ikal Amanda Asar, Mishum Chilul Hashem, Begozel Batro. He says in the Gemara in Baba Kama, there is a Deya that says that Gezel Ha'akum is Asur, because of Chilul Hashem, but Rashi says that's only rabbinic in nature. If you look there, there's a little Aleph, and that Aleph points to Agot Agra, and the Agot Agra says, V'inai Tamua Me'od. What Rashi is saying here seems extremely surprising. The Chimshi Aran over here also asks this question on Rashi. He concludes, based on another Gemara in Baba Kama, which says that since the Bnei Noach didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, Hutra Lehem, that Hashem wiped them out, the Gemara said, what do you mean Hutra Lehem? That's a reward? But rather, Hutra Mimonam Yisrael. And therefore, there is no restriction against Gezel from the Kuti, because of the fact that they didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. That has implications in terms of who it applies to. We'll get back to that in 1 second. The Agot Agra says, I don't understand what Rashi is speaking about. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, where he's referencing to, there he makes the comment that he thinks that the Gemara, when it says that it's Asur Mishul Chul Hashem, that's because Chil Hashem is Doraita. That would be a restriction min Torah, not a restriction min Derabanan. In addition, there is an opinion that thinks that Gezel Akum is Asur min Torah, not just min Derabanan. And therefore, the Gra notes over here that he thinks what Rashi is saying is incorrect. Rashi seems to indicate that everybody agrees that Gezel Akuti is mutar midoraita. The Ran defends that by saying that that's only post the time period the Gemara to Baba Kama tells us that they didn't keep Sheva Mitzvah by Noach, and therefore Hutar Mamonam Yisrael. The Meiri, based on that, says in the Gemara in Baba Kama that that means it only applies to Akum, individuals who do not keep basic civil law or do not worry about stealing from one another, that would apply. But if they are megudar behalachot, if they keep basic civil law and they protect property rights and they don't allow people to steal from each other, then this din would not apply to them. That's one qualification that's made by many of the Rishonim. In addition, the Balei Tosafot say this explicitly in Baba Metzia. The Gra brings it over here as well. They believe that Gezel min Akum is asur midoraita. Whether you believe that's because Gezel Akum is asur midoraita, or even according to the one who says it might be mutar, it'll be asur midoraita if there's any chashash of Chilul Hashem, which in most instances there is. So then you would have to deal with the cases on the periphery where possibly it is mutar. And therefore most Rishonim believe that there is an Isur Doraita of Gezel Akuti. And all you have to say is that this Tosefta is following that opinion that says that Gezel Akuti is mutar, or following, like the Ran says, that position that says that it was after the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach were Nesula Heter. But then again, that would might limit it to those individuals who do not keep basic civil law. Nevertheless, we have here a Tosefta which indicates language that says mutar and asur. Mutar and asur means you're allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do it. But it doesn't say, if you are right that there's a death penalty over here, you shouldn't be speaking about mutar and asur, you should be speaking about chayav and patur. Are you subject to the death penalty or not subject to the death penalty? That is because in the latter part of that Tosefta, where it says that Yisrael Bekuti is mutar, there he wanted to write mutar and not patur. Patur would apply patur aval asur, but that's not true. It's mutar legamre. That goes back to what we just discussed in Rashi. Tana Reisha, asur. So that's why in the Reisha wrote asur, so it could write mutar in the Seifa. But ha in hachanami, that it really means chayav, in the other cases, means chayav mita. V'ha kohecha ditlech yuva mitnok tani. Wait a minute. Everywhere else in that Tosefta, when it brings examples of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, when it wants to say that you are chayav mita, it explicitly says it. It doesn't use mutar and asur, it uses the language of chayav and patur. Tiktani reisha. Because earlier on it says, al shvichut damim. Shvichut damim is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. There it says, kuti bekuti, kuti b'Yisrael chayav, Yisrael bekuti patur. So again, over there we have the same layout, the four permutations. That means that by killing or murder, a kuti to a kuti and a kuti to Israel and a Israel to Israel, all of those are chayav. All of those individuals will be chayav mita. Yisrael bekuti is patur. Now over there, Yisrael bekuti is patur, aval asur, which is the right way to write it. Hatam Hechel Litne. Over there, you have no choice. And that's what the Gemara is going to answer, because Litne Asuru Mutar, if you want to say it should have read Asur Mutar, that would imply that a Jew is Mutar to murder a Kuti, which is just not true. Vatanya, don't we have a Braita Kuti, Veroi Beima Daka, Lo Malin, Velo Moridin? That when it comes to a Kuti, or shepherds of Behemoth Dakot, that are steeped in Gezel because they graze their animals in other people's fields, Lo Malin, if they are in a dangerous situation or they are trapped somewhere, we do not aid them because they are stam gazlanim and therefore they are chayav mita velo moridin. But we do not actively push them into that case. So that means that we are not allowed to actively murder someone. That means that it's not mutar, it is asur. So Rashi, again, there's a qualification in Rashi about this. This din that says that lo malim velo moridin, which basically says we allow people to die passively, but we'll not actively murder them. He says, there's a little print there, of idna din ze inu noheg ki batlu din ene fashot. So the little qualification in Rashi, I'm not sure this is from the words of Rashi, it was added in later, but it says here that this din does not apply today because capital punishment is no longer extant. That's an interesting way to deal with it. The more likely way, and the way that most of the Rishonim deal with it in saying, is that it depends on the situation and amongst who we live. When you're dealing with individuals who do not enforce the law, individuals who do not keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, that din applies. That's who the Kuti is that we're speaking about. But in a situation in which you live in a civilized society where they do prosecute these issues and don't allow murder to go on, then this din would not have application of Lo Malin Velo Moridin. So that would be the way to deal with it, so that it's not a broad stated law. It has to do particularly with these individuals who are not keeping the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Ben kach, what we see from this part of the Braita is that when one says chayav or patur, it'll tell you that it's chayav u patur. My answer is, over here, you needed to say chayav u patur, because it's patur and not mutar, as opposed to the case of zela, where it is really mutar. So then the Gemara leaves that aside and says, okay, we'll accept the fact that gnevar gzela is subject to a death penalty, even though the Tosefta writes mutar and asur. That was to deal with the mutar aspect of it. And even though asur is not the right word, it should have said chayav. Now, kiyotze bo begezel mahi. The Braita there, the Tosefta says that it's these three items, which is gzela, gneva, yifat toar, and kiyotze ben, things that are similar to them. Gemara wants to know, what is something similar to gezel, where these four permutations would be true? Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, lo nitzucha lo poel bekerem. We're dealing with a worker who is working in a vineyard. So Gemara says, poel bekerem emat. What exactly is the scenario that we're speaking about when you're talking about a worker in the vineyard? Ivishat gemar malacha. If you're talking about at the time where they're picking the fruits, it's time to put them into the baskets and take them in to be processed. Hetero. There it is. Heter gamur. Now that means for Yisrael, it'd be completely mutar because there is a halacha that's brought down in Dvarim that we read in Parshat Ki Tetze. Ki tavo bekem re'acha v'chalta navim kenaf shecha savecha. So you're allowed to eat those fruits. And Chazal are dorish about that. That you can't put them into your own personal basket. You're allowed to eat them, but not gather them for your own benefit. That you can only do this when you are gathering into the kli of the balabait. That means at the time of Gmar Malacha, it is mutar. And so Rez Rashi points out over here, if it's mutar for Israel, if it's Israel to Israel, it's mutar, how could it be then ulukuti asur? Then why would it be asur for akuti? Here is something where the Yisrael is given permission to do this, and now you're going to say that the Yisrael is mutar, and the kuti is asur. Remember, we added in that additional permutation to the four, which is that Yisrael should be asur based on the setup here. And now we're saying that Yisrael b'Yisrael is mutar. So how could it be that someday it's mutar Yisrael for goy is asur? Plus, it doesn't fit the permutations where we say Yisrael to Yisrael, it's asur. Ila avishat gemar malacha. If it's not at the time of the Gmar Malacha, Gezel Ma'al-Yuhu. It's not a Kiyotze Bo. It's not similar to Gezel. It is Gezel. You are stealing in that case. You're not permitted to take those grapes when you're working in the vineyard. And if you do take them, then you're a thief. So that would be regular Gezel. It's coming to teach about a case of less than a Shove Pruta. So now, in less than a Shove Pruta, as we're going to see in a second, a Yisrael is Mochel on it. He forgives that item. And so since he forgives it, it's not a problem. On the other hand, for a kuti, who doesn't forgive less than a sheva pruta, it turns out to be a problem. So since Yisrael is mochel on less than a sheva pruta, the din is different by Yisrael, then it will be by Ikuti. So now the Gemara is going to say, wait, some of these permutations then don't work out. If Ikuti be Yisrael, Asur, why should it be that if Ikuti steals from Yisrael, it'll be Asur when it's less than a Shavu Pruta? Because Yisrael is Mochel on less than a Shavu Pruta. So then why would you hold the Ikuti accountable? The Jew would forgive that. Even though, yes, after a period of time, he is Mochel, didn't he cause him pain when he stole from him? And he's held accountable for that pain that he's causing to him. So Rashi explains over here that it'll actually turn out that the din turns differently based on the structure of the halacha, which is that by gzela, by a Jew, there's something called veshev et gzela asher gazal. A Jew is not punished for gzela in Beit Din because of the fact that there is a lav hanitak le'aseh. It's a lav that has a corrective measure associated with it, which is veshev et gzela asher gazal, that you return the gzela that was taken. So by a Jew to a Jew, even though there is tsa'ar, even though there is pain that is caused there, similar to the case where the kuti steals from the Jew, nevertheless, the mechila, the forgiving aspect of this, has a different impact in each of those instances. By the Jew, where the requirement to deal with the gzela is veshivit gzela asher gazal, when the Jew is a ben mechila and he says, okay, it's less than a shar pruta, I don't care about it, then the veshivit gzela asher gazal is no longer relevant, but the veshivit gzela asher gazal protects him from the punishment. Since there was an itak laseh, that's what protects him from the punishment. Now, should he have to give it back? Yes, but the other parties forgiving him are waiving the need to give it back, and therefore he is patur. So if Yisrael to Yisrael, it'll turn out that it is patur, and there is no problem. It's patur, even though technically there he has the same problem of the tsar. But the tsar is not impactful there because the Jew is not punished for that. He has an lav anitak laseh. Not lav anitak laseh says return it. That returning has been waived. By the kuti to the Yisrael, you don't have that. A kuti does not have that rectification, which is veshivat gzela asher gazal. Once you steal, then you are held culpable for stealing. So over here, he stole the less than shavet pruta. That caused pain to the Yisrael. That already makes him culpable for it. And even though the Jew afterwards is a ben mechila about the return of the money, that doesn't have impact because veshivat gzela asher gazal is not applicable to the kuti. And therefore, the kuti is going to be held accountable for that. That's why it's going to be asur, or even, as we said before, chayav, for that theft. As Rashi notes over here, ubisrael, ubisrael, nami asur, umavar lo avar. Even though it's asur to take from another Jew, even less than a shavu pruta, you're not considered to be in violation of the din, dechtev lo tigzol veshivat gzela, because there is a rectifying asay, amida dechishavon kari gezel. Only something that can be returned is defined as gezel. And over here, since there is no need for return, because it's less than a shavu pruta, there is no violation of gezel. But by the kuti, that does not have that rectifying asay, veshivat gzela asher gazal, that means at the point of theft, it's classified as theft because of the pain he caused the other party, even though the Jew forgives in terms of the return of the money, because it's less than a shavu pruta. Kuti to kuti, we'll discuss in 1 second. Yisrael to kuti is like we suggested before, that there is no din of gezel from Yisrael to kuti, with all the qualifications that we made before based on Rashi and the Gra. Now the Gemara goes on, okay, ubekuti, bekuti, kiyotze ben. Wait a minute, when a kuti steals from another kuti, that's similar to gzela? Why is it only similar to gzela? Kevin delab bnei mechila ninu gezel ma'al yahu. Since they don't forgive each other with less than a shavu pruta, that is real theft. So in a case where it's Yisrael to Yisrael, or a kuti to Yisrael, I understand why it's kiyotze bo, because it's not real theft. Because the Jew is forgiving in terms of the return of the item. But there will be different outcomes there because of the difference in the structure of the halacha. But when it comes to a kuti, where there is no forgiveness going on, then this is regular gzela. So why are you calling it kiyotze bahen? It's similar to gzela. It is gezlam alyu. It's full-fledged gzela. Elam ravacha brei ravika, onisrach ala kovesh skar sachir. It's for someone who withholds paying a worker, or paying someone who is an employee of the individual. This is different than gzela, as Rashi notes in the Gemara and Baba Kama says this, that gzela is something where you grab it out of the hand of the other individual. They base it on the pasuk, by gzola tachanit miyad mitzri. He snatched out the sword or the dagger from the hands of the mitzri. That means you physically take something. That's called gzela. Over here, you're not physically taking anything, you're withholding the payment. So that's not gzela, that is a derivative of gzela, and that's what it means kiyotze ben. Therefore, by kuti bekuti bekuti b'Yisrael asur, Yisrael bekuti mutar, and Yisrael b'Yisrael will be asur. So in those cases, all four permutations would work out like we were suggesting, which is, in all cases, there'll be asur because it's theft. Theft not in the active sense, but theft in the passive sense. And the one case where it's mutar is Yisrael tokuti is relying on what we said before, that there is no such thing as gezel akum from Yisrael to an akum, again, with all the qualifiers that we said before. So now the Gemara moves on, now we found something similar to gezel. We move on to kiyotze b'yifat toar mahi. What is something that is similar in nature to yifat toar? Clear here that the Gemara skipped one of the items in the Tosefta. There it says gezel, gneva, and then yifat toar. Why didn't it mention kiyotze bo ba gneva? Rashi over here says that's because kiyotze bo ba gneva nira b'inai kobayin lo, since they didn't ask the question, mahi lo mishkachat le, they had nothing to add. There was no kiyotze bo ba gneva, and therefore the Gemara just skips over it. And so now the Gemara moves on to kiyotze bo yifat toar mahi. Ben Noach, who designates a shivcha for his eved, then if he has bi'ah with that shivcha, then he is killed for that. Now the exact nature of the cases that work here of kiyotze bo by the yifat toar is somewhat difficult to come around. Rashi has one view, but even within Rashi, it's hard to understand what exactly Rashi is suggesting. And therefore, there are other Rishonim and Achronim that try to interpret Rashi. So first of all, let's just start with Rashi, who says that the situation or circumstance is a case where you have an Eved Knani and a Shivcha Knanit that are owned by a Ben Noach, by a non-Jewish owner. And he designates the Eved Knani for the Shivcha Knanit. And in doing so, gives that Eved Knani some sort of ownership or relationship with the woman. If that master then takes away that shivcha and sleeps with her, or another ben Noach sleeps with that woman, that shivcha, they're in violation of gezel, and therefore subject to the death penalty because of gezel under ben Noach. And the Ran notes that when Rashi over here says that it's a problem of gezel, he means gezel as opposed to eshedish. And so the only problem here is gezel. There's no problem of eshedish. There is no marriage over here. As Rashi notes, because the bi'ah that exists is only znut ba'alma, and therefore it doesn't have a classification of marriage. Whereas if you look in the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, he says the problem here is a problem of Eshedish. Rashi's interpretation is the Shitato because of the fact that this is a derivative of Yifat Toar. And as above, Rashi already said the problem of Yifat Toar is Gezel. And so do over here, Kiyotze Bo has to be a derivative that involves Gezel. So in that way, the designation of the Shifcha Knanit for the Eved Knanit by the Ben Noach makes it that he has a certain relationship with this woman. It's not a relationship of marriage. And even though generally by Ben Noach, Bi'ulat Baal would generate marriage, and over here you have this Eved Knanit living together with this Shifcha Knanit that should have generated marriage, Rashi says it does not happen here because it is Nut Be'alma. Why it's Nut Be'alma is not clear. The Ran suggests the possibility is because the Shifcha Knanit is not interested in marriage at all. And since she is promiscuous, as the Gemara says in other places, therefore her bi'ah is never a bi'ah that is intended for marriage. It's a bi'ah that's intended for znut. For that reason, there is no marriage over here, but rather just a bi'at znut. And so therefore, there is a relationship that is generated, and that is imposed by the Adom. The master here imposes this relationship on the Eved Knani and the Shifcha Knanit, similar to Yifat Toar, where there's an imposition of an outside party on the woman. The Kovesh, the conqueror over here, takes the woman as his wife against her will. So to over here, the master designates these two to be, quote-unquote, married against their will. And that way it's similar. Then if the master or another Ben Noach takes this woman, they will be chayav because of gezel, which ironically wouldn't be true if this was two regular Bnei Noach that designate themselves for each other. They have some sort of relationship that does not involve bi'ah, there would not be any restriction of gezel. It's only because now it's imposed by the Adon that there is a problem of gezel, despite the fact that that wouldn't work in any other context for a Ben Noach. Then Rashi says that in the other scenario, and this is a scenario where the Adon is a Yisrael, and the Adon Yisrael gives his Eved Ivri, a Shivcha Knanit, to marry. In that case, if a Kuti comes and takes that Shivcha Knanit, then that will be subject to a penalty of mitah, either because of gezel or even there, very possibly because of ish as well, because an Eved Kanani, with a Shivka Kananit, has a certain amount of marriage relationship, which could then subject the Ben Noach a death penalty. Now, for Israel to Israel in that case, that would be a problem of what's called Shivka Charufa, because it's a Shivka Kananit here, and therefore if Israel, or even the master Israel, gets involved with this Shivka Kananit, there'll be a problem of Shivka Charufa, and that will subject them to be Chayav, but Chayav in Hashem, and Hashem Shivka Charufa, not necessarily a death penalty. And in that way, now you capture all the different scenarios, which are, number one, a Kuti to a Kuti will be Chayav, because of Gezel, a Kuti to Israel will be Chayav because of the Eved Ivri to the Shivka Kananit is either Gezel or possibly Eshet Ish. Israel to Israel will be Chayav because of Shivka Charufa. And the one scenario I've left is that Israel to a Kuti will be Patur. That is because, as Rashi notes over here, that if he captures this Shivka Kananit, she is no better than the wife of the Nachri, whereby, if in that scenario, he can make her into a Yafat Toar, so too with the Shivka Kananit, he can take her and there won't be any restriction. So in essence, Rashi has three different scenarios or three different cases over here in order to create the Kiyotze Bo by Yifat Toar. You have the case by the Nachri where he has a Shivka Kananit and even a Kananit that he has married or puts them together. That generates a relationship, not of marriage, but of some sort of ownership by that Eved Kanani. And that prevents then the other Nachri from coming and taking away, or the master himself taking away this Shivka Kananit, otherwise be designated as Gezel. For the cases by the Jew, it's a case of Nevi Vri with the Shivka Kananit, which is a problem for another Jew or the master of Shivka Charufa, and a problem of a Kuti of either a problem of Gzela or a problem of Eshet Ish. And then in the case of the Jew towards the Kuti, it would be a case of a Shivka that is taken in captivity after her master had designated her for the Eved Kananit. Then the Jew has the right to take her as a wife or to treat her like a Yafat Toar, just like you can do to the wife of the Nachri. Now the Dat Ramo is critical of Rashi's interpretation, mostly because of the fact that Fakharufa requires real Kiddushin, not just Yuchud, in order to generate that status of Shivka Charufa. And the Gemara here speaks about Yuchud and not about issues of Kiddushin. And therefore, he believes that all the scenarios here are with a Shivka Kananit and an Eved Kanani, both if it's a Jewish owner or a non-Jewish owner. And in that way, he creates the cases similar to Rashi by the non-Jewish owner of a Shivka Kananit and Eved Kanani. By the Jewish owner, he says it's the case of Eved Kanani to Shivka Kananit, and then he frees the Shivka Kananit. In freeing the Shivka Kananit, it severs the relationship with the Eved Kanani, at least for Israel. And therefore, the master himself, it would be mutar, because he has, by freeing her, severed the relationship to Eved Kanani. But for a Kuti, while she's still a Shivka Kanani, married to this Eved Kanani, it would be problematic. So that does present a problem for Yisrael to Yisrael in that situation, as to why he would be Chayav. The Ran, on the other hand, suggests over here that the Yuchud is essential over here, because the relationship between a Shivka Kanani and Eved Kanani would never be one of marriage or something that would create a problem for the master because of the Shivka Kanani's promiscuity. And therefore, when it's Yichud, when he designates the Shivka Kanani for the Eved Kanani, does that make it into a marriage with that he would be Chayav for, the Adon, of taking the woman because now we're married. And since the Adon doesn't have the right to be Mafkia, to take away the Shivka Kanani from the Eved Kanani, because only has a Kinyan of Yidmasa Yadayim in the Eved Kanani and the Shivka Kananit. Therefore, it remains a full-fledged marriage. And if the Adon then has a relationship with the Shivka Kananit, it will be in violation of Eshet Ish, similarly with another Kuti that has a relationship. Then an Israel who does gain a hold on a Shivka Kananit to the point where he has full control over the woman, not just for Masa Yadayim, he can then free her, and that freeing of her and having her convert in that release will then make her mutar to him. That is because, as far as Eshet Ish is concerned, by a Jew, there is no concept like this of Eshet Ish. He will be restricted from marrying Eshet Kanani, just like he's restricted from marrying Kutit, but it won't be a problem of Eshet Ish, and if he frees her, and he'd be mutar to marry her. So therefore, the relationship between this Eshet Kanani and the Eshet Kanani will be different, depending on whose perspective. From the perspective of the Ben Noach, there is a marriage over here, and therefore, any consorting with the Shivka Kananit is a problem of Eshet Ish, and that's why he'll be put to death. For Israel, that is not viewed as Eshet Ish, it's not a marriage, because there's no concept of Eshet Ish ever between an Eved Kenani and a Shifcha Kenanit for a Jew. He has another Isur, which is a problem that she's a Shifcha Kenanit, but he can overcome that problem by freeing her. That Ben Noach can overcome the problem by simply freeing the Shifcha Kenanit, because he doesn't have enough ownership in there or rights to take her away from the Eved Kenani, who's now her husband. The only leftover issue for the Ran is Yisrael to Yisrael. Why is he Chayav? Because we just noted that there is no relationship of Eshet Ish between an Eved Kenani and a Shifcha Kenanit. You would have to say there that he's Chayav because she remains a Shifcha Kenanit. If the master doesn't free her, then she is restricted like any other Nachriya is restricted because she is a Shifcha Kenanit. And that might be the restriction that is violated by the Yisrael to Yisrael. Now the Gemara goes on and says, Ki Yotze Bo Deshvicha Damim Lo Tanya. The Brayta, the Tosefta, doesn't bring Kiyotze Be'en when it speaks about Shvichut Damim. That is because there is no Kiyotze Bo. There is nothing similar to Shvichut Damim that have the same law, but that is not Shvichut Damim. Rashi notes that you can't use the case of Shogeg to suggest that that be considered a Kiyotze Be'en of Shvichut Damim, even though the din of Shogeg by a Nachri is different than that by a Yisrael. By Yisrael he is Patur, whereas by a Nachri he is Chayav. That is because shogeg, or murder by shogeg, is considered to be full-fledged murder. Just as the Torah's chasalav has mercy on him and only punishes him with galut, and not with the taking of his life. But that doesn't change the act itself of being an act of killing, and therefore it's not considered to be yotze bo, similar to, but rather ritzicha itself. And that can't be the explanation of the yotze ben. Amar Abaye, imishkacha titanyo, if we do find a tosefta that suggests that there is something yotze ben by shvichut damim, Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul, he would be Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul, who has this view. The Tanya, Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul, Omeru Deifachar Chaveiro Lohorgo, person who's chasing down his friend to kill him, V'yachol Atzilo B'Echad Me'Verav, whether it's the victim who's being chased, or a third party, can stop the person who's going to murder this individual, but you can do it by simply injuring the individual, not by killing him. We require of you to use the minimum amount of force in order to ensure the protection, the safety of the one being chased. Velo itzil. The person didn't do this, and they used his lethal force where they could have used something less in order to stop the rodef. They killed the person chasing over here, the rodef. Ne'arak alav. You will be subject to being punished as a murderer because you murdered someone unnecessarily in that case. So now, Rashi explains for us, that's similar to shvichut damim. Because it's karov lahatir veinu mutar. It's something that you would think might be mutar, but it's not mutar. Or the way that the Yad Ramah formulates it, it is something that people would think you're a patur because it's self-defense, yet you're still classified as a rotzeach. Kuti bikuti bikuti b'Yisrael chayav. If it's a non-Jew chasing another non-Jew, and he doesn't use minimum force and kills, he'll be considered a murderer. Same thing with kuti b'Yisrael, they'll be chayav. Yisrael b'Yisrael would have the same din. Aval Yisrael b'kuti patur aval asur, according to Rabbi Yonatan. That if a kuti was chasing a Jew, and then he turned around and killed the kuti who was chasing him, or another Jew intervened and killed that kuti, even though you could have used less force, over there you're going to be patur aval asur, according to Rabbi Yonatan, because Rabbi Yonatan believes you're not allowed to use maximum force where minimal force would work. And so he says in that instance, you'll be patur aval asur. Because even though there is an imperative, an injunction to try not to use lethal force where you don't have to, in that case of a Jew towards a kuti, you will not be held culpable as a rotzeach. We will ask you not to do it, but if you do it, you will not be considered a rotzeach. Whereas with the Chachamim, they have no such limitation of not using lethal force in any of these situations. Never be a heter gamur, and it's nothing like the case of rotzeach, where it's something that is karov liyotu ritzicha, but nevertheless, by a Yehudi towards a kuti would be patur aval asur, whereas for a kuti to Israel, or Israel to Israel, it would be not only asur, but chayav. That's something that's doma to shvichut damim, whereas for the chachamim, where it's heter gamor, it has nothing to do with shvichut damim, where we have these different aspects of chayav and patur. Because there is no requirement to use more minimum force, because you just have to save your life any way you can, and there's no limitation according to the Chachamim. Then that wouldn't work out, because that wouldn't match up with the permutations that are brought in the Tosefta. Ashkach Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, Davik Tiv B'Sefer Gadat HaDebei Rav. So Rav Yaakov Bar Acha found in the Agadato of Beirav, here it sounds to be like it's a Midrash Halacha that he's finding. And it says there, Ben Noach Nerag B'dayan Echad. Ben Noach doesn't require the 23 Dayanim that are the minimal for capital punishment of a Jew. One Dayan suffices. Ube'ed Echad. You also don't have the requirement of two Eidim like a Jew. A single Eid would suffice. Shalom Behatra. Without a warning, we already discussed this, that there is no need for Hatra'a. Mipi'ish V'lo Mipi'isha. Can only be put to death if it is a man testifying, not Vayanisha. Vafilu Karov. And there is no disqualification of relatives with regards to Eidut. Vishom Rabbi Shmuel Amru Afalu Ubarin. And Rabbi Shmuel adds on that it is considered murder for a non-Jew if he murders an in utero fetus. And that is that murder is not just about killing people who are alive or human beings, but even a fetus is classified as being a human being for these halachot, and therefore it's considered murder if you murder a fetus. Menahani Mile. Where is this all learned from? Amar Yehuda Damakra, the pasuk says, and this is with regards to the Bnei Noach when they exit the Teva. These are one of the halachot that Hashem gives them at that time. So now the Gemara is going to go through and show how they darshan from each of the words. Edrosh is in Lashon Yachid. That shows you only need a single dayan to do the drisha. You don't need a minimum requirement of 23 to have a capital case. Miyad kol chaya, from any animal, afilu shelo behatra'a, even without a warning. That's either because the human being and the animal are equated over here. If either of them kill a person, they're subject to the same death penalty. Just like a chaya doesn't get a warning, so too a human being doesn't need a warning. That's one way to learn it. Or there is an alternate limud, which is brought by the Bereishit Rabbah, which is that when Hashem comes to accuse Avimelech of taking a married woman, he doesn't say, oh, you were warned. He just comes in and says, you did something wrong. And so from there, you see that there is no need for Hatra'ah in that case. This also has impact based on what you think Hatra'ah does by a Jew. Remember earlier on, we saw that there are two opinions as what Hatra'ah is for. One of them is that it's a requirement. The other one is that it is changing the individual from a shogeg to a mezid. It's what makes the individual into an intentional violator of the precept rather than just a shogeg, an unintentional violator. If that's the case and there's no requirement for Hatra'ah by an Akum, that means that there's no differentiation between Shogeg and Mezid. And that means that a Ben Noach would be punished for Shogeg just like Mezid. That will go to a differentiation that Tosafot makes in other places in Shas, which is Shogeg runs in different directions. Shogeg can be classified as Karov the Mezid, and Shogeg can be Karov the Onis. And that is that if it's Karov the Mezid, it will be classified as a Mezid, which means if a person says Omer Mutar, he just thought it was mutar. He didn't know the severity of the crime. He didn't have the knowledge. That will all be considered like mezid. A shogeg, where it's really unintentional, where it's karov the ones, over there we would suggest that the person would not be held culpable in that case because there it's really unintentional, and that would be much more karov the ones, and for that reason, he would be released and not held accountable in that instance. Edushenu umiyada adam afilu beid echad. Again, it says an individual will be the one that puts this person to death, miyada adam, from an individual. One individual can put the murderer to death, and that is a single aid. Miyadish, it says from a man, velo miyadisha. Achiv, and there it says his brother, afilu karov, even a relative. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel amru afalu barim, that you are culpable for the murder of a fetus. Maitameh de Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reason behind Rabbi Shmuel's position? Diftiv. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam. Damo yishafech. Because there it says that one who spills the blood of an Adam, ba'adam, that's inside of a person, damo yishafech. So ba'adam, what does it mean in a person? That there's only one. Ezo adam shu ba'adam. Who's the only person inside of a person? That is a fetus that is inside the uterus of his mother. V'tanakama. What about the Tanakama? What does he do with ba'adam? That's a pretty strong proof that Rabbi Shmuel brings to the fact that you are culpable for the murder of a fetus. Tana de Bein Menashe. The Tanakama is following the position of Tana de Bein Menashe. Damar kol mitam moral b'nei Noach enu elo chenek. We saw two opinions as to what is the standard death penalty for violating the Sheva Mitzvah b'nei Noach. We had a view that it was Saif. And here we have a view of Tana de Bein Menashe, which we brought earlier, which it is that is chenek. It is strangulation. they learn this from Ba'adam over here. That is that they reparse the Pasuk to read it not Shofek Dam Hadam Ba'adam, but rather they write Shofek Dam Adam, Ba'adam Damo Yishofek. Ba'adam, as long as the blood stays in him, that's how he will be killed. And how, what is that? B'shari lehai Ba'adam ha-seifid dekra, drosh be'ochi. And they learn this way. Ba'adam Damo Yishofek, ezu shvichut damim shel adam, shu begufo shel adam. How do you kill a person internally? Meaning that there is no bleeding, that the person is killed without any blood being let. Habiyomir zecherek, that is strangulation. And so that's how they learn out the default punishment for a ben Noach is chenek and not saif. In either case, the two opinions are saif and chenek, and we discussed yesterday the fact that Tamar, who was brought out to be sreifa, was definitely an extrajudicial punishment because it's not under the rubric of any of the opinions as to what the punishment is for the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. We will get back to this issue of aborting fetuses, killing fetuses, which here clearly the Gemara says is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is considered to be murder, but we know that by Jews that is not the case. So the Tosafot and Daf Nun Tet deals with this. How could it be possible that there's something that is mutar l'Israel and is asur for an achri? And for that reason, the Baalei Tosafot come to the conclusion that it must be that it's asur for Israel as well. It may not be classified as murder, but it would be asur, and therefore it will be restricted abortions both for Jews and for non-Jews. The only question will be, what's the penalty for violating that? For a Jew, it would be a violation of an isur, whereas for a goy, it will be a violation that is considered to be murder. Now, you'd have to take that into consideration, because even according to the Baalei Tosafot, say it's asur, they're speaking about an isur that is karov le-ritzicha, that is karov to murder. So it'll be an isur of ritzicha, even though you can't be punished as a murderer, which is a serious violation. Again, we'll have to deal with it over there. What are the implications then with regards to abortion? So Meiti Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna now challenges this. V'ishalom ifkida. Is it really true that a woman is not enjoined to take care of a murderer or take out a murderer? We said over here, miyad ish v'lo miyad isha. That an ish is the one who can put this murderer to death, but the isha is not responsible, which implies that the isha is not under the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach of Dinim in order to adjudicate and make sure that a murderer is brought to trial. Vaktiv, doesn't it say by Avram Avinu, ki yadativ emanashi etzavet banav et beito acharav shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedaka u'mishpat? Beito refers to the women, banav would refer to the men. So that seems to indicate that the tzedaka u'mishpat is an obligation both on the men and on the women. And that's what it's saying there, that Avram does this. He's going to make sure that his children or his descendants do this, which is what the Bnei Noach are not doing, but they should be doing. So, Humoti v'lavu meferekla, he asked the question, and he answered it. Banav the din, beitol tzedakah. We're going to bifurcate the case and say, banav is for the din aspect of it, beito is for the tzedakah aspect of it. So, the din of beito, or the women, are included in the aspects of tzedakah. Whether you think tztaka means pshara, or whether you think tztaka means literally tztaka. And din, the obligation of dinim in the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach would be applicable to the banim, not to the banot, or not to the women. It's interesting here, only because this somewhat favors the view of the Rambam, that dinim of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach is a reference to the court system that adjudicates the cases, and not simply civil law, like the Ramban says. That seems to be somewhat hinted to over here. Let us suggest here that a woman who murders will not be subject to a death penalty, will not be considered a murderer. Because it says, miyadish, v'lo miyadisha, thief, that we will hold accountable from a man, but not a woman. The pasuk opens up with, shuvech dam adam means murder is murder. Irrespective of who commits the murder, it's considered to be murder. But then, when it comes to the dinim, or the adjudication, or the punishing of the murderer, the obligation is on the man and not on the woman. Ema bat noach shizinta lo te'areg. Again, here you could suggest that a bat noach should not be held accountable for znut, or for adultery, dichtiv. Because it says in the pasuk by Adam Rishon, al ken yazov ish et aviv et imo v'davak pishto v'ayud basar echad. So again there, it's ish, alken yazov ish, velo isha. So that this idea of marriage, or the obligation of the marriage that makes them into a unit, that's only an obligation on the man, not on the woman, or is only associated with the man, not with the woman. Rabbi Yehuda answered that problem. It says, Vayuda basar achad. At the end of the pasuk, it says that there will be a single unit. Hadar avinu kra. So the pasuk brings them back to one unit, saying that the unit that is created that makes them into a married couple affects both the man and woman as well. Tarabanan ish. Matal madomar ish. So this is going back to something that we discussed way at the beginning of today's daf, which is by Arayot, it says, ish ish, el kol she'er b'saro lo tikruvu lo galot erva. So the Gemara asks about this, ish. You only needed to have ish written there once. Matal madomar ish ish. Why is it duplicated? Lerabot et akutim. In order to include b'nei noach, shemuzarim al Arayot ki Yisrael. That they are held accountable for Arayot, just like Yisrael. Va mehocha nafka? That's where we learn it out. Mehatam nafka? We learned it out yesterday from the word lemor that is found in the pasuk by Adam HaRishon, which is Vetzav Hashem Elokim al Adam lemor, and we learned from there lemor zegiloy arayot. So my says hatam arayot tidu. That's how you met arayot that are uniquely associated with the Bnei Noach. Vahacha by arayot didan. Over here it's dealing with arayot that are restricted to Jews but not to Bnei Noach. Diktani seifa, because if you look later on in that braita, Baal Arayot Yisrael nidon b'dinei Yisrael. If he violates Arayot that are uniquely associated with Yisrael, then he is judged or punished like Yisrael. The Mai Hilchoto. What does that have a nafka mina l'alocha? Arayot of a goy versus Arayot of Yisrael, where is that differentiation? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, lo nitzrucha eleida ve'idim ba'atra'ah. That's to tell you that if he is in violation of arayot that are associated with Jews and not with a goy, then he's subject to Jewish law, which means that you will require an eida, 23, a beit din of 23, eidim, two eidim and hatra'ah. Where it says migra gara, how does that make any sense? If he violates arayot of a akum of another ben Noach, then he's punished much more easily. Then if he violates arayot of Israel, you're going to tell us that now he has a higher standard, a higher threshold, and he doesn't get punished? It doesn't make sense. Meaning that if it's arayot by akum, this is the way that we deal with it. If he then comes and violates a Jewish woman who has arayot, then certainly over there the punishment should be at least as severe as it is when he violates it by an akum. It's because of nara musra delidu leklehu. They don't have a concept of nara hamiurasa. Now, if you go to the Rambam's introduction to dealing with Dine Yishut, over there he explains that unique aspect of Kiddushin and the Erusin, which are a Jewish concept that were introduced by the Torah. The Torah comes along and says that we don't just get married, and marriage then is Nisuin. There is now an introductory part to marriage, which includes Kiddushin or Erusin. And as the word implies, Kiddushin means Kiddusha. That there's an aspect of kedusha to a Jewish marriage, and that has to do with the kiddushin that precede the nisuin, being designated for one another. And then that has implications. So for Jews, there is this halachic engagement that has implications that does not exist for the ben Noach. So then in a case where you have a nara murasa, a Jewish woman who is halachically engaged to a Jewish man, didanin lo bedina didan. Then in that case, if there is an affair between this goy and the nara murasa, then we will punish him based on our punishments, because in Ben Noach, there is no such law. There is no din of a nara murasa. And the punishment will be skila, similar to a nara musra b'Yisrael. But if she's a fully fledged married woman, and then they will have an adulterous affair, in that situation, then they will be punished like a ben Noach, because ish and ish applies by a ben Noach. But Tanya, problem is, the Braita says, Baal nara murasa, if the ben Noach has a relationship with nara murasa, nidon b'skila. They're punished by skila, which is our judgment, by a nara murasa, like we just said. Al ish and ish, nidon b'chenek. The other hand, when it comes to a married woman, in nisuin, there, if he does it, he's punished by chenek. Veid bedina didu, if he's only subject to the penalties that apply to a ben Noach, the saifu, he should be killed by the sword, which is the standard punishment of mitah for a ben Noach. The Gemara will come back and suggest possibly another answer, which is that it's Tana de Bnei Menashe, who says that it's chenek. But before it does that, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my yeshidish, diktani, the yeshidish that we're speaking about over here is kigon shenichnas l'chupa v'lo nivala. It's a case where he took her into his house, but he has yet to have biyah with her. They don't have such a concept. And that is because by the case of Abimelech and Sarah, it says, that what makes a woman into a married woman for the goyim is bulat baal. Eshet ish is determined by biyah. That's the only factor that makes someone into a marriage is a consummation of the marriage for a ben Noach. For Jews, there are actually different stages. That is kiddushin or erusin, which is the halachic engagement. There is chuppah, which is bringing the woman into the house of the husband. And then there is consummation of the marriage through biyah. And for a Jew, chuppah already generates nisuin. It already generates that aspect of nisuin, which is not true for them. So that means that there are two cases where a goy would end up being judged in our system based on our punishments because they don't exist for ben Noach. That's an arusa. Or someone who is a nisua through chuppah without biyah does not have a bulat bal yet. Then in a little bit, not done. And therefore he's punished by our punishments. And Eshet Ish, for a Jew, is punished by chenek and not by sayif. The Tani Rabbi Chanina, Bulat Baal, Yesh Lahem, Nechnasa Luchupa, Lo Nivala, Ein Lahem. It comes from Ben Noach. They have a concept of Bulat Baal, Biyah generates marriage, but they don't have a concept of Chupa without Biyah, which would then, they consider to be not married, for a Jew would be considered to be Nisuin. Tanya Kavati de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan's contention over here, that the Naram Ruasa is that differentiated factor. Anything that a Jewish Beitin would put the Jew to death for if it was violated, Ben Noach Muzarla. Ben Noach is enjoined from not engaging in such an erva. Ain Beit Yisrael Memitin Alea. If Jewish Beitin would not put Israel to death for this, Ain Ben Noach Muzarla. Then a Ben Noach is not warned about that. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Now Rashi claims over here something that a Beitin Israel is Memitin Alea. He says there's a difference between Karet and Mitat Beitin. So Rabbi Meir says that mitat beitin are things that the arayot that a akum or ben noach is enjoined from engaging in. Whereas if it's the things that are karet, those things then a ben noach is not restricted in. As opposed to that, chachamim armim harbe arayot yesh she'ein beitin she'esom memitin aleim ben noach muzar aleim. There are many aspects of arayot that a Jew or a beitin would not punish a Jew for with the death penalty. Yet a ben noach is still enjoined from not engaging in them. So Rashi over here will say those are chayavei kretot. There are certain chayavei kretot, like achoto, v'achot aviv, v'achot imo, v'eshet achim, v'eshet achi aviv, v'achot ishto. And all of those would be subject according to the chachamim. Because according to the Rabbanan, itrabu b'nei noach mi ish ish l'chol amar b'parsha. Because they learn this limud of ish ish to say that a ben noach is subject to all the restrictions in the parsha tarayot. Rabbi Meir lo dorish ish the ribuye. And Rabbi Meir does not have that drasha. But rather learns from Al Kenya Zilvish et Aviv Imo. And for that, which we know the punishment there is for adultery and is punished by Mitat Beitin. So that's his source to tell you that only by Mitat Beitin. And that gives us the difference in opinion here. And that's why you would have the Girsa of Harbei Arayot. But if that's the case, the problem with Rashi Shita is the fact that now you do need both Al Kenya Zov and Ish Ish. And then why did the Gemara before ask the question about why do you need ish ish? We already have Al Kain. The answer is because with Al Kain, I would have only thought mitad beitin. Ish ish comes to tell me even other items. And for that reason, the Rambam, you can see there's an aleph and it goes to a gota gra. And the gra notes that the Rambam does not have the gears of harbei arayot because the only difference between the chachamim and Rabbi Meir is achotome imo, which is learned out from the pasuk by Avraham, and not all of these other items that Rashi is claiming over here. And nothing to do with Al Kain versus Ish Ish, because otherwise the Gemara wouldn't have had to ask that question before, is what's Ish Ish necessary for? The Tosafot has a middle view here, which is that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir agree that all the Arayot that are subject to Mitat Beitin and to Karet are punishable for Ben Noach. The question is, under whose system? And that is that Rabbi Meir believes that only Mitat Beitin are included under the word Lemor, that's under the Ben Noach system. The remainder of them come from Ish Ish under the Israel punishment or Israel Beit Din punishment scenario. As the Chachamim believe that Lemor includes all of those items, and they're all subject to the punishment of Ben Noach. The only thing that's not included comes from Ish Ish, which is the Nara Hamurasa. The Gemara says, Bal Arayot Israel Nidon B'dinei Israel, Bal Arayot Ben Noach Nidon B'dinei Ben Noach. If he engages in arayot that are of a nature that is only restricted to Israel, and then he will be then subject to that penalty, then he's punished like Dinei Israel. If he goes on, if he violates arayot that are restricted to a ben Noach, then he's punished like a ben Noach. And And here the Braita notes that that distinction or that difference is Nara Murasa, similar to what Rabbi Yochanan suggested before, that Nara Murasa is this added arayot that the Ben Noach will be punished for if he engages with a Jewish Nara Murasa, and he'll be punished like Israel. Nechshov Nami Nechnasa L'chupa. What about the other one that we mentioned, which is Nechnasa L'chupa V'lo Nivala? Why don't you count that? Haitana Tana de B'nei Menashe, this is what I mentioned before, that this Tana in that Braita is following the position B'nei Menashe, the Mar Komita Morad B'nei Noach in Alei Chenek. He says that the standard or default punishment or death penalty for a Ben Noach is Chenek. And since Idiviti Cheneku, it makes no difference then whether it's a Chupa without Bia or with Bia, she's considered to be an Eshet Ish. Eshet Ish under Jewish law is subject to Chenek. Arayot, under the Ben Noach's law, is also subject to Chenek, so it makes absolutely no difference. So even though, yes, technically there's a difference, but the penalty is the same penalty, so in the end it makes no distinction. All right, we're going to stop here. Two lines from the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet.